This is Audible.
Inappropriate. Written by Vi Keeland. Narrated by Andy Arndt and Sebastian York. Chapter 1. Ireland.
God, I feel like crap. I lifted my head from the pillow and winced. This is why I rarely drank. A belligerent hangover and a 3:30 a.m. wake-up time don't make for good bedfellows. Reaching over toward the annoying buzzing sound, I patted around my nightstand until I somehow managed to find my phone and silence the alarm. 10 minutes later, the sound returned. I groaned as I dragged my body out of the comfort of my bed and headed to the kitchen for some much-needed coffee and Motrin. I'd probably need to ice my eyes, too, in order to look halfway presentable on air this morning. I was mid-pour, steaming coffee filling my mug, when suddenly the reason for last night's inebriation and my resulting hangover hit me. How the hell had I forgotten? The letter. The damn letter. Ouch! Shit! Hot coffee spilled over the top of the mug and scalded my hand. Shit! Ouch! Shit! I ran my hand under cold water and shut my eyes. What the hell had I done? I wanted to crawl back into bed and go back to forgetting. But instead, all the details from yesterday came flooding back like a tsunami. An hour after I'd wheeled my luggage through the front door, returning from a week in paradise, a letter had arrived via messenger. Fired. In a form letter. The day before I was scheduled to return to work from vacation. I felt nauseous. It was the first time I'd been unemployed since I was 14 years old. Not to mention the only time my departure wasn't of my own accord. I turned off the water and hung my head, trying to recall the exact wording in that damn letter. Dear Ms. St. James, we regret to inform you that your employment at Lexington Industries has been terminated, effective immediately. Your employment has been terminated for the following reasons. Violation of Conduct Policy 3-4, committing any acts which constitute sexual assault or indecent exposure. Violation of Conduct Policy 3-6, using the internet and or other communication media to engage in sexual conduct or lewd behavior. Violation of Conduct Policy 3-7, engaging in other forms of sexually immoral or objectionable conduct. Severance pay shall not be paid because your termination was for cause. Within 30 days, we will issue a letter to you outlining the status of your benefits. Insurance coverage will continue for the time required by New York State employment law. The personnel office will coordinate your final paycheck and work with your supervisor on the collection of your personal items. We regret this action and wish you the best of luck in your endeavors. Sincerely, Joan Marie Bennett, Director of Human Resources. There had been a thumb drive included in the padded envelope, which contained a 30-second video one of my friends had taken on the beach. I felt a burn traveling up my throat, for reasons other than the likely alcohol poisoning I'd subjected my body to. My job. It had been my life for the past 9 years, and some stupid, grainy video had made everything I'd worked my ass off for vanish like a puff of smoke. Poof! Goodbye, career. I groaned. God, what the hell am I going to do? Standing upright clearly wasn't the answer to that question, so I took my pounding headache back to the bedroom and crawled under the covers. I pulled the comforter up and over my head, hoping the pitch black might swallow me alive. Eventually, I managed to fall back asleep. When I woke up a few hours later, I felt slightly better. Though that didn't last for very long, not once I realized I'd only remembered half the events of last night. My roommate and best friend, Mia, poured me a cup of coffee and heated it up in the microwave. She looked pretty hungover herself.
How'd you sleep? She asked.
Elbows propped on the kitchen table, I held my head upright in my hands, sort of. I looked at her through one squinted eye.
How do you think?
She sighed.
I still can't get over the fact that they fired you. You have a contract. Is it even legal to sack someone for something that happened when they weren't at work?
I sipped my coffee.
Apparently so. I spoke to Scott about it a few minutes ago. I'd sucked up my pride and called my ex. He was an asshole, and the last person I wanted to talk to, but he was also the only lawyer in my contacts. Unfortunately, he'd confirmed that what my employer did was perfectly legal. I'm so sorry. I had no idea a day at the beach could turn into something like this. It's all my fault. I was the one who suggested we go to the topless section. It's not your fault. What the hell was Olivia thinking, posting it on Instagram and tagging all of us? I'm thinking the piña coladas that cute cabana boy was serving us with an extra shot of rum had her not thinking at all. But I don't understand how my job knew about it. She tagged my private account, the Ireland St. James one, not my public Ireland Richardson account the station runs for me. Or used to run, I suppose. So how did they even see it? I double-checked my settings this morning to make sure I hadn't somehow changed them to open, and I hadn't. I don't know. Maybe someone from your job follows one of us who has a public account. I shook my head. I guess. Did the asshole respond to your email, at least? I furrowed my brow. What email? You don't remember? Apparently not. The one you sent to the president of your company? My eyes widened. Oh, shit. Things just keep getting better. Apparently, Rock Bottom has a basement. Fired. No severance pay. 1 week after, I paid the second and biggest payment required on the construction contract for my first home. The likelihood of getting a good recommendation from my current employer? Zilch, after I went on a drunken rampage and told the guy who works in the ivory tower what I thought of him and his company. Awesome. Just awesome. Great job, Ireland. Between plunking down most of my life savings for the down payment on the land I bought in Agora Hills and being a big shot and covering the entire bachelorette party's alcohol tab for a full week in the Caribbean, I had about $1,000 to my name. Not to mention, soon my roommate would be getting married and moving out, taking half the rent she paid each month with her. But don't worry, Ireland. You'll get another job. When hell freezes over. The news media industry was about as forgiving as my bank account after a day at the mall. I was screwed. So screwed. I'd have to go back to independent contract work, writing magazine articles for pennies per word to make ends meet. That part of my life was supposed to be over. I'd killed myself, working 60 hours a week for nearly 10 years to get where I was now. I couldn't walk away from that without a fight. I had to at least attempt to salvage things, enough to get a recommendation that wasn't scathing. So I took a deep breath, pulled up my big girl panties, and opened my laptop to refresh my memory on the specifics of what I'd written to the president of Lexington Industries, since more than half of it was fuzzy. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. I clicked into my sent box and opened the message. Dear Mr. Jong-un, I shut my eyes. Shit. Well, there goes that wishful thought. But maybe he won't get my humor. He'll just think I got his name wrong. That's possible, right? I reluctantly went back to reading while holding my breath. I'd like to formally apologize for my minor indiscretion. Okay, not a bad start. This is good. This is good. If only I'd stopped reading there. You see, I hadn't realized I worked for a dictator. Oh, God, I'm such an asshole when I drink too much. I blew out a loud stream of shaky breath and ripped the Band-Aid off. I was under the impression that I had the right to do what I pleased while on my own time. Unlike your silver spoon ass, I work hard. Therefore, I deserve to blow off some steam once in a while. If that entails getting a little sun on my tatas while on a girls-only private vacation, then that's what I'll do. I wasn't breaking any laws. It was a nude beach. I could have gone fully nude, but I just chose to go topless. Because, let's be real, I have great tits. If you've watched the offending video, which your uptight human resources director saw fit to provide me on a thumb drive along with a bullshit termination letter, you should consider yourself lucky you got a glimpse of them. You might even consider adding it to your spank bank, perv. I've spent more than 9 years working my ass off for you and your stupid company. You can both go to hell. Bite me, Ireland, St. James.
Okay. I had a steeper uphill battle to smooth things over than I'd hoped, but I couldn't let that deter me. Maybe El Presidente hadn't even read my first email yet, and I could start my next attempt by asking him to ignore the original one. If I wanted any shot of finding a job within the industry, I couldn't have a bad recommendation. Since they'd violated my privacy, the least they could do was be neutral. I broke out in a panicky sweat and chewed on my fingernail. I wasn't above begging. So I copied and pasted the president's email address and opened a new message. Time was of the essence here. But just as I started to type, my laptop pinged, letting me know a new email had arrived. I clicked on it, and my heart nearly stopped as I read the email address. grant.lexington@lexingtonindustries.com. Oh, God. No. I tried to swallow, but my mouth was suddenly dry. This was not good. I just wasn't sure how bad it was yet.
Dear Ms. St. James, thank you for your email, which this silver spoon read at 2 a.m, because I was still at the office working. From the tone of your letter, one littered with grammatical errors from a woman with a journalism degree, I'm assuming you wrote it while drunk. If that's the case, at least you no longer need to get up in the morning. You're welcome. For your information, I have not viewed the video you referred to. But if my spank bank ever runs a little low, perhaps I'll dig it out of my trash folder, along with the standard letter of recommendation your superior had planned to give you. Sincerely yours, Richie Rich.
I let out the breath I'd been holding. Oh, fuck.
Chapter 2. Grant. Mr. Lexington, would you like me to order you some lunch? Your 2 o'clock just called and is running a half hour late, so you have a little break.
Why can't people ever be on damn time? I grumbled and pushed the button to the intercom to speak to my assistant. Can you please order me boar's head turkey and alpine lacy Swiss on whole wheat? And tell them one slice of Swiss. The last time we ordered from the deli, the guy who made my sandwich must have been from Wisconsin.
Yes, Mr. Lexington.
I opened my laptop to catch up on emails, since my back-to-back meetings had turned into back-to-wait yet again. Scanning for anything important, my eyes stopped on one particular name in my inbox. Ireland St. James. The woman was obviously a drunk or nuts, possibly even both. Though her email had been one more amusing than half the mundane shit waiting for me, so I clicked.
Dear Mr. Lexington, would you believe my email was hacked and someone else wrote that ridiculous letter?
I'm guessing probably not. Considering how well-educated, intelligent, hardworking, and successful you are.
Am I pouring it on too thick?
Sorry, but I have a lot of shoveling to do. Is there any chance we can start over? You see, contrary to what you probably think, I don't drink that often, which is why when a very unexpected termination letter showed up at my door, it didn't take much to bury my sorrow, and apparently my sanity. Anyway, if you're still reading, thank you. Here's the letter I should have written. Dear Mr. Lexington, I'm writing to request your assistance in what I believe was a wrongful termination of my employment. As background, I've been a dedicated employee of Lexington Industries for 9.5 years. I started as an intern, received promotions through various news writing positions, and eventually reached my goal of on-air reporter. Recently, I went on a much-needed vacation to Aruba with 8 women for a bachelorette party. Our hotel had a private section of the beach reserved for nude sunbathing. Though not generally an exhibitionist, I joined my friends for a few hours of topless tanning. A few innocent photos were taken, none of which were posted by me, and my on-air name was not tagged. Yet somehow, I returned home to a letter of termination for violating company policy regarding lewd behavior. While I understand the reason for having an inappropriate behavior policy, I adamantly believe my conduct while on a private vacation on a private beach was not what it was meant to protect Lexington Industries from. As such, I respectfully request that you review the policy and the termination of my employment.
Respectfully yours, Ireland St. James, Ireland Richardson on air. St. James. Why do I know that name? It had sounded familiar when the first email arrived, so I'd looked her up in the company directory. But she was in the news division, which my sister ran, and I'd avoided like the plague since I took over as president when my dad died 18 months ago. Politics, propaganda, and bureaucracy weren't my thing. Though I was president in name, I generally stuck to the financial side of Lexington Industries. I dug out the first email I'd received from Ms. St. James and reread it. While the newest one was certainly more appropriate, the first amused me more. She'd signed the letter with the closing, "Bite me," which had actually made me chuckle. No one talked to me like that. Oddly, I found it a bit refreshing. I had the strangest urge to have a conversation with Ms. Richardson after a few drinks. She'd certainly piqued my curiosity. I pressed the button of the intercom on my phone again. "Millie, could you call down to the broadcast media division, the morning news segment producer? I think it might be Harrison Bickman or Harold Milton, something along those lines." "Of course. Would you like me to set up a meeting for you?" "No. Tell him I'd like to see the personnel file for one of his employees, Ireland St. James. Her stage name is Ireland Richardson." "I'll get it taken care of." "Thank you." My afternoon meeting only lasted 15 minutes. Not only did the guy show up an hour and a half late, he was also completely unprepared. I had no patience for people who didn't value my time, so I'd called it quits and walked out of the conference room after telling him to lose my number. "Is everything okay?" Millie looked up at me as I strode past her desk. "Do you need something from your office for your meeting?" "My meeting is over. Hang up on anyone who calls from Bayside Investments if they ever call again." Yes, Mr. Lexington." Millie got up and followed me into my office, holding a notepad. "Your grandmother called. She said to tell you they don't need a security system, and she sent the installer home." I rounded my desk and shook my head. "Great. Just great." "I retrieved Miss St. James' file for you and printed it out. It's on your desk in a folder. There's also a video of some sort that was on file in Human Resources, which I emailed to you." "Thank you, Millie." I sat down at my desk. "Would you mind closing the door on your way out?" Jesus Christ. Now I remembered her. It was a long time ago, but her story wasn't one you'd forget too easily. Back when Ireland St. James was hired, my father was still running things. I'd been sitting in his office when Millie had brought him the file on her. He'd used her story as a teaching example, an example of decisions you sometimes have to make to protect the company image. I leaned back in my chair. Every employee gets a background check. The extensiveness of it depends on the position. The more visibility someone has, the more their name and face can affect the brand of the company, so the deeper we delve. Human Resources and an outside investigation company usually do the vetting. When a person comes back clean, a manager does the hire with a sign-off from the division's director. For the most part, senior management isn't involved. Unless someone poses a possible threat to our name and a department head still wants to make an offer. Then the file gets sent up the flagpole. Ireland St. James. I rubbed at the stubble already forming on my chin. Her first name was a bit unusual, so that was probably what rang a bell, though I blocked out a lot of shit from 10 years ago. I flipped through the pages of her personnel file. Her background summary was barely a page. Yet the file had to be 2 inches thick. UCLA undergraduate with a major in communications and minor in English. Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism with a postgraduate fellowship in investigative reporting. Not too shabby. Never arrested, and only one parking ticket. We'd done an update to her background 18 months ago when she'd gotten the position she was in now. It seemed she was dating a lawyer. All in all, her investigation was unremarkable. She was an ideal employee and an upstanding citizen. But her father was a different story. The next 50 pages were mostly about him. He'd been some sort of low-level security guard in an apartment complex here in the city, though it was the time after his departure that was the focus of all the news articles.
Flipping through, I scanned the pages, letting them fan slowly one at a time until I got to one with a photo of a little girl in it. When I lifted it closer, the name in the caption confirmed it was Ireland. She had to be about 9 or 10 in the picture. For some reason, I stared at it like a bad car accident. She was crying, and a female police officer had a hand wrapped around her shoulder as they walked out of her house. Good for you. Good for you, Ireland, getting where you are today after that start. As fucked up as it was, I smiled at the picture. Things could have very easily gone the other way for her. It made sense that she'd written me a second time now. She was a fighter. I hit the intercom on my desk phone, and Millie answered. Yes, Mr. Lexington. Would you get me some recent segments of the morning news with Ms. St. James? She's Ireland Richardson on air. Have them email up a link from the archives. Of course. I might have paid more attention to the broadcast media division if I'd known it looked like this, or I could have at least watched the morning news. Ireland St. James was a damn knockout. Big blue eyes, sandy blonde hair, full lips, white teeth that showed often because she smiled a lot. She reminded me of a younger version of that tall actress from the last Mad Max movie. I watched 3 full segments before clicking back to the email Millie sent me earlier, the one from Ireland's HR file. 3 sets of tits greeted me when the video opened. I pulled my head back. Definitely not the news. The women were on a beach wearing nothing but skimpy bikini bottoms and sipping drinks from coconuts with a straw. I forced my eyes up to examine their faces. None of them was Ireland. But a few seconds before the end of the short video, a woman walked up from the beach. Her hair was slicked back from the water and looked darker wet. But the smile was unmistakably Ireland's. With the other women, I'd noticed their bodies first, yet it took me until the video ended and froze on Ireland to even look down. And it wasn't because her body wasn't impressive. Her breasts were full and natural. They went with the rest of her luscious curves. But it was the curve of her smile that made me feel like I should suit up in armor. I shifted in my seat and toggled to the X at the corner of the video to close it. Though she'd suggested I add it to my spank bank, I wasn't going to be disrespectful. Now, if she'd sent me the video herself, that might be a different story. But I certainly wasn't going to work up a stiffy in my office replaying the video a dozen times, no matter how tempted the asshole part of me was. I turned in my chair to look out the window. Ireland St. James, you seem like a real handful. A woman I should steer clear of, that was for damn sure. Yet I felt compelled to learn more. For a few minutes, I debated digging further, maybe listening to more of her side of the story. But why would I be doing that? Because I was curious about Ireland St. James, that's why. Though was it because I wanted to ensure fairness at my company? Or because she had a mesmerizing smile, a killer rack, and a fucked up history that made me curious? After a few minutes of deliberating, I knew the answer. Every warning sensor in my brain told me to delete the emails and run the personnel file through the shredder. That was the smart thing to do. Definitely the right business decision to make. Yet, I hit the space bar to power my laptop back up and opened a new email. Dear Ms. Richardson, after further review...
Chapter 3 Harold Bickman is such an asshole. Though I loved my job, my boss was the one thing I wouldn't miss. The man was a dirtbag. He hadn't been a fan of mine almost from the very beginning, ever since I'd found out he hired my male counterpart, who had less experience than me and less time with the company, with a salary of 20 grand more than mine. I'd brought it to his attention in a professional manner, and he'd proceeded to explain that there were pros and cons to every employee and every position. He'd said I shouldn't worry, that I'd see benefits Jack Dorfman didn't have someday soon, like when I took advantage of the great maternity leave policy the company had. I'd filed a formal complaint about my salary with Human Resources and gotten equivalent pay, but there was no going back from what Harold Bickman considered treason on my part. We'd found a way to work together without too much friction, mostly by avoidance, though his email today proved once again what a colossal jerk he was. And something in my gut made me think he'd had a hand in the station getting a hold of that topless beach video. Lord knows the man wanted to give my job to Siren Eckert bad enough. Side note, Siren is her real name, not her stage name. What were her parents thinking? Anyway, Harold Bickman, a 54-year-old overweight balding man who smelled like day-old cheese, wasn't the brightest bulb in the bunch when it came to women. I bet he thought he had a chance with Siren, the 24-year-old former Miss Seattle runner-up, just because she batted her eyelashes at him. I bet he also thought I would follow the directions in his email.
Dear Ms. Richardson, in light of the unfortunate events and your recent departure from broadcast media, I have scheduled you to visit the office at 10 a.m. on Thursday, September 29th, to collect your belongings. I trust you will conduct yourself professionally during your visit. As your employee identification and building card have been deactivated, you will need to check in at the security desk. Regards, H. Bickman.
Seriously? I wanted to crawl through my laptop and strangle the man. It made me cringe to think that he might have viewed the unfortunate events. He probably jerked off while watching the 22-second glimpse of topless women, right before walking over to Siren and offering her my job. God, the one good thing about getting fired was that I'd finally get to tell that man what I thought about him on Thursday. Although, I wouldn't put it past the wimp to be MIA when I came to collect my belongings. I sighed and hit the trash can icon to get rid of Harold once and for all. But just as I was about to close my laptop, I saw another new email waiting. This one from Grant Lexington. Curious, I immediately clicked to open.
Dear Ms. Richardson, after further review of your file, I've determined the decision to terminate your employment was warranted. However, I'll reach out to your immediate supervisor and suggest he provide you with a neutral letter of recommendation based on your performance. Sincerely, Grant Lexington.
Great. Just great. Leave it up to Harold to give me something neutral. I probably should have shut my laptop and cooled off, but the last 48 hours had brought me to a boiling point. So I typed back, not bothering with the formality of a greeting or anything. Great! Harold Bickman hates women almost as much as he hates foot tapping. Oh, unless he thinks he has a chance to bang you, like he does my replacement. Thanks for nothing. 2 days later, on Thursday morning, I was no less bitter when I arrived at the office. I was, however, almost 45 minutes early, since I had no idea how long it took to get to the office during rush hour traffic. The roads were always empty when I left for work at 4:30 in the morning. Since I wouldn't put it past Bickman not to allow me in early, I decided to go next door to the coffee shop. It would give me a chance to mentally prepare for cleaning out my desk and dealing with him, too. I ordered a decaf, since my nerves were shot already, and went to sit at a corner table. Whenever I was feeling stressed, I watched Instagram video clips from The Ellen Show. They always cracked me up, and that, in turn, helped me relax. I clicked on a funny clip where Billie Eilish scared Melissa McCarthy, and I laughed out loud. Looking up from my phone when it ended, I was caught off guard to find a man standing next to me.
"Do you mind if I share your table?"
I looked him up and down. Tall, gorgeous, expensive suit. Probably not a serial killer. Then again, my ex always had perfectly tailored suits, too. I squinted. "Why?" The man looked to his left and then his right. When his greenish-gray eyes returned to meet mine, I thought I detected the slightest twitch at the left corner of his lip.
"Because all of the other seats are taken."
I surveyed the room. Oh, shit. They were all taken now. Lifting my purse off the table, I nodded. "Sorry, I didn't realize the place had filled up. I thought, well, never mind. Please, help yourself." That lip made the slightest twitch again. Did he have a tic, or was I amusing him?
"I said, excuse me, but you didn't seem to hear. You were engrossed in what you were doing."
"Oh, yeah, lots of work. Busy, busy." I clicked to close YouTube and opened up my email. The handsome guy unbuttoned his suit jacket and sat down in the seat across from me. He lifted his coffee cup to his lips.
"The one with Will is my personal favorite."
My brows furrowed. He smirked.
"Smith, on Ellen. I couldn't help but notice what you were watching. You were smiling. You have a beautiful smile, by the way.
I felt my cheeks heat, but not because of the compliment. I rolled my eyes.
So I lied. I wasn't working. You didn't have to call me out on it.
His little smirk turned into a full-blown grin, yet there was still something very cocky about it.
Did anyone ever tell you that you have an arrogant smile? I asked.
No. But then again, I haven't seemed to use it too much the last few years. I tilted my head.
That's a shame.
His eyes roamed over my face.
So why did you lie about working?
Honestly? Sure, let's try that route. I sighed. It was a gut reaction. I just recently lost my job, and I don't know. I guess I felt like a loser sitting here watching Ellen clips.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a newscaster for Lexington Industries. Or at least I was until a few days ago. I did the early morning segment.
Mr. Doesn't Smile Often didn't respond the way most people did when I told them I was on TV.
They usually raised their brows and had a million questions, but it sounded way more glamorous than it was. Yet the man across the table didn't seem impressed, or if he was, he didn't show it, which I found curious.
And what do you do that you wear a fancy suit and yet can sit in a coffee shop so leisurely at, I looked at the time on my phone, 9:45 in the morning.
That little twitch was back. He seemed to like my sarcasm.
I'm the CEO of a company.
Impressive.
Not really. It's a family business, so it's not like I started at the bottom.
Nepotism. I sipped my coffee. You're right. I'm a lot less impressed now. He smiled again. If what he'd said about not doing it often was really true, it was a damn shame, because those full lips and that cocky smile could melt hearts and win poker games.
So tell me about getting fired, he said. That is, if you don't have to get back to all that work you were doing on your phone.
I chuckled. It's a long story. But I did something I thought was harmless, and it turned out to be in violation of the company's policy.
And you're an otherwise good employee?
Yes, I worked my butt off for more than 9 years to get where I was. He studied me and sipped his coffee some more.
Have you tried talking to your boss?
My boss has wanted me gone for years, ever since I complained that he hired my male counterpart for more money than I was being paid. Which reminded me, I needed to get to the office to see that asshole boss. I should get going. Said boss is waiting for me to clean out my desk. Mr. CEO rubbed his chin.
Would you mind if I offered you a little advice? I've dealt with a lot of employment issues.
Sure, I shrugged. Can't hurt.
Retaliation for reporting an illegal gender pay gap is illegal. I suggest you make an appointment with the Human Resources Department and lay out your support for that claim. Sounds to me like there should be an investigation, and your boss might be the one who should be in here watching Ellen videos.
Huh. Scott hadn't mentioned that retaliation was illegal when I'd told him what happened. But that didn't surprise me. He was too busy lecturing me for being topless on the beach. I stood. Thank you. Maybe I'll do that. The handsome man rose from his chair. He stared at me, almost looking like he wanted to say more, but had to deliberate over his words. I waited until it got awkward. It was nice meeting you, I said. He nodded.
Likewise.
I started to walk away, and he stopped me by speaking again.
Would you want to have lunch later? You can't very well give me the excuse that you're too busy now that I know you're unemployed.
I smiled. Thanks, but I don't think so. Mr. CEO nodded and sat back down. I walked out of the coffee shop, not quite sure why I'd said no. Of course, there was stranger danger and all, but meeting him for lunch in a public place wouldn't be any more dangerous than going out with a guy I met at a bar, and I'd done that before. If I were being honest, something about the guy intimidated me, not unlike how I'd felt when Scott and I first got together. He was just too good-looking and too successful and, well, I guess I felt gun-shy about the type. But that was just stupid. The man was seriously sexy, and my morning was going to be shitty enough. Why not go out to lunch and take a chance? I halted in place on the street, causing the person behind me to bang into my back. Sorry, I said. The guy made a face and walked around me. I rushed back to the coffee shop and opened the door. The CEO was standing and picked up his cup like he was about to leave. Hey, Mr. CEO, you're not a serial killer, right? His brows jumped.
No, not a serial killer.
Okay, then I changed my mind. I'll have lunch with you.
Well, now I'm glad I didn't go on that rampage after all.
I chuckled and dug into my purse for my phone. Put your number in. I'll text you my contact info. He typed into my cell, and I immediately sent him my contact information. When his phone buzzed in his hand, he looked down.
Ireland. Beautiful name. Fitting.
I looked down at my own phone, but he hadn't entered a name.
CEO?
You're not going to tell me your name.
Figured I'd keep you curious until lunch.
Okay. But I'm guessing you have some sort of uppity CEO name that gets passed down along with a trust fund. He chuckled.
I'm glad I stopped in for coffee today.
I smiled. Me too. I'll text you later about lunch. He nodded.
I'm looking forward to it, Ireland.
I left the coffee shop and headed for the office in a much better mood than I'd started with. Maybe today wouldn't be so bad after all.
Seriously? You couldn't even have her wait until I'd cleaned out my desk?
Our office space was a large open square with cubicles in the middle and private fishbowl-type glass offices lining the perimeter. Security had escorted me to Bickman's office like I was a prisoner, and now I could see Siren on the other side of the large space, moving boxes from her cubicle into my office. Bickman yanked on his belt buckle and pulled his pants from beneath his belly to up and over it.
Don't cause a scene or I'll pack up your crap for you.
I scowled and began to tap my foot as I spoke.
I hope you at least gave her pay parity with a male of the same education and experience. Oh, wait. That might be hard since a man with her qualifications works in the mailroom still.
He pushed a few buttons on his phone and looked across at my office as he spoke on speakerphone.
Ireland is here to clean out her office. You might want to give her some space and finish setting up your new office when she's done.
Yes, Mr. Bickman.
I rolled my eyes. Yes, Mr. Bickman. The asshole waved his hand, dismissing me to go do what I needed to do.
Don't take too long.
Disgusted, I turned to walk out of his office and then stopped and backed up. I hadn't decided if I was going to go to HR about him firing me for retaliation. I really didn't have any proof. I couldn't show that Bickman was the one who'd surfaced the video that was my reason for being fired. And I knew threatening wouldn't bother him at all. Still, I needed to make him feel like shit, so I could at least feel better. I stepped back into his office and quietly closed the door behind me, turning to say one last thing.
You've been looking for a reason to fire me for years, but it's hard to justify when I've been a model employee and our ratings have gone up consistently since I joined the show.
Finally, you found a reason. I don't know how you did it, but I know you were behind human resources getting a hold of that video. Tell me, did you keep a copy for yourself? I hope you did, because that'll be the only piece of ass you'll ever see from this office. You certainly won't be seeing any skin from the unqualified, barely out of high school girl you gave my job to. You think that will make her like you, but she's busy banging that new intern from advertising. Oh, and remember Marge Wilson, the divorced middle-aged temp you got drunk at the office Christmas party a few years back? The one you think no one knows you went home with? I smiled and held up my pinky, waving it in the air.
Well, we all know. Her nickname for you was Inchworm.
I opened the door, took a deep breath, and headed over to clean out 9 years of my life. Literally 3 minutes later, security was at my office door, and Bickman stood right behind them. I put the last of my things from the top drawer into a box and glowered at him.
I'm not done yet.
You've had long enough. We have work to do around here.
I mumbled under my breath and opened the second drawer to continue packing. God, you're such an asshole, Inchworm. Apparently, I wasn't very good at mumbling. Bickman's face turned red, and he pointed toward the exit.
Out. Get out.
I yanked the second drawer off the track and unceremoniously dumped the contents into my box. Then I did the same thing for two others and tossed the empty drawers onto the guest chairs on the other side of my desk. I grabbed the framed pictures that sat on my desk and my degree off the wall and jammed it all into the box. The two uniformed security guards he'd summoned looked completely uncomfortable. I smiled at one sadly. "I'll leave, so you don't have to deal with this jerk." The guards followed me to the elevator bank and got into the car with me. Bickman at least had enough common sense to take a different elevator. Though when we stepped out on the lobby level, he exited the car next to us. I shook my head and kept walking. "I think the two security guards are enough. You don't need to escort me, Bickman." He kept his distance but followed behind nonetheless. When I got to the main lobby area, there were a lot of people standing around. So I decided to go out with a bang. I stopped and turned around to face Bickman. Setting my heavy box on the floor in front of me, I pointed my finger at him and began to shout at the top of my lungs. "This man uses his position to try to take advantage of women. He just fired me and gave my job to some young girl because he thinks she might spread her legs to say thank you. I guess he isn't familiar with the #MeToo movement." Bickman rushed forward and grabbed my elbow. I yanked it out of his hand. "Don't touch me." He took a few steps back when he realized people were watching and turned to scurry back to the elevator bank. I needed to get the hell out of here before security called the actual cops. So I took a deep, cleansing breath, lifted my box back up, and held my chin high as I marched toward the glass doors. Only, a man was walking directly in my path, heading right toward me with rapid, long strides. My steps faltered as I took in his face. His very pissed-off face.
"Keep your damn hands to yourself,"
he barked over my shoulder at Bickman. "Mr. CEO." Great. Just great. The first guy I'd met in months that I was actually a little interested in, and he had to walk into my building just as I was making a scene and acting like a crazy person. The timing couldn't have been worse. Then again, it went with the rest of my shitty day. The stress of the last few days must have gotten to me, and I cracked. I started laughing like a nut job. At first, it was a burst of laughter, but it turned into a snort, followed by a belly laugh that made me sound like I'd lost my mind. I tried to cover my mouth and stop, but my words came out between hysterics. "Of course I had to run into you here. I swear I'm not really like this. It's just been a really bad few days." CEO continued to stare over my shoulder. The look on his face was positively lethal, jaw tight, muscles flexing in his cheek, and his nostrils flaring like a bull's. I turned to follow his line of sight and saw Bickman walking back toward us instead of away. I sighed, knowing the scene wasn't over yet, and shut my eyes. "I'll understand why you don't call me for lunch." The man's eyes flickered to me, then Bickman, then back to me once again.
"Actually, I'd still love to take you to lunch, but I'm guessing you're about to change your mind."
Chapter 4. "Mr. Lexington, it's so good to see you." Ireland's head swung back and forth. If I'd had any doubt about whether she'd known who I was in the coffee shop earlier, the confusion on her face now confirmed she'd had no clue. "Did he just call you?" Bickman appeared at Ireland's side, and I glared at him. "Give us a moment. I need to speak to Ms. St. James." Ireland's eyes lit up. "You son of a bitch. You knew who I was the entire time?" Bickman was still standing behind her like I hadn't just told him to beat it. "Did you not understand what I said?" I growled at him. "Sorry, Mr. Lexington. Of course, I'll go back up to my office. I'm on the 11th floor if you need me." "Yeah, you've done enough already." I told the security guards to go back to their posts and went to take the box from Ireland's hands. "Let me hold that." She pulled it away from my reach. "You're Grant Lexington." "I am." "And you knew who I was at the coffee shop?" I swallowed. "Yes." "God, I gave my number to a liar. That's worse than a serial killer." "I never lied to you." "Yes, but you neglected to mention the fact that you're my boss's boss's boss." The box she held started to slip, and she almost fumbled it. "Oh, God. Our emails. We've exchanged emails, and you didn't think it was relevant to mention who you were when you knew who I was? I honestly didn't know who you were when I first walked over to take the empty seat, but I would have mentioned it at lunch. She shook her head. Lunch? Screw you. Better yet, screw your whole damn company. Ireland walked around me and stalked toward the door. Ireland, I called after her. She kept walking. I probably needed my head examined, but watching her out Bickman and tell me off made my dick twitch. It was even better than the current view of her sexy ass as she tore out of my building. I smiled and shook my head. Maybe we were both a little nuts. So I'll call you about our lunch date later then, I yelled after her. She raised a hand without looking back and gave me the finger. I chuckled. My gut told me it wouldn't be the last time I saw Ireland, but for the moment, I had other pressing things to attend to. Mr. Lexington, it's nice to see you. I'm sorry you had to witness the unfortunate events in the lobby. We had a disgruntled terminated employee who wanted to make a scene. A young woman popped her head into Bickman's office. She didn't immediately notice me since I was standing to the side of the doorway. Can I go back into my office? She spotted me and trailed off. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't realize you weren't alone. It's fine, I said with a nod. Bickman made the introductions. Siren, this is Grant Lexington. He's the president and CEO of the company that owns our little station. Oh, wow, she said. I extended my hand. Nice to meet you. Bickman puffed out his chest. Siren's just been promoted to on-air reporter. So this is the unqualified woman Ireland was going off about. Bickman told the woman she could continue moving into her new office, and I watched his eyes drop to her ass when she turned around. Once she was out of earshot, I confirmed my suspicion. Is she Ms. St. James' replacement? The asshole looked proud. Yes, she's a graduate of Yale, and I cut him off. How did you get a hold of Ms. St. James's vacation video? Excuse me? Do I need to speak more slowly? How did you get Ms. St. James's vacation video? I saw it on social media. I arched a brow. On her public social media? No, her private Instagram account. So your friends on social media then? Since you can see things posted to her private accounts? Yes, well, not technically me, but I have access to an account she's friends with. Elaborate. I was starting to lose my patience. I have some social media set up in an old employee's name, a basic profile. So you're telling me you're using someone else's name to stalk all your employees' private social media? Bickman tugged at the knot of his tie. No. Just the troublesome ones. The troublesome ones? Yes. He didn't need to tell me any more. Ireland hadn't been exaggerating. This guy was really a piece of work. I walked to his desk, picked up the receiver to his phone, and pushed a few buttons. When security answered, I said, "This is Grant Lexington. Can you please come up to the 11th floor? I have a terminated employee you need to escort off the premises." When I hung up, Bickman still didn't seem to get it. I put my hands on my hips. You're fired. You have until security gets up here to clean out your desk, which I'm pretty sure is more than the amount of time you afforded Ms. St. James. The dumbass blinked a few times. What? I leaned in and spoke slowly. What part of "you're fired" didn't you understand? Bickman said something, though I don't know what the hell it was, because I walked out of his office and went to the woman I assumed was his assistant based on where she sat. Are you Bickman's assistant? The older woman looked nervous. Yes. I looked down at the nameplate on her desk and extended my hand. I guess I really should have stopped by this building more often. Half the people didn't even know who I was. Hi, Carol. I'm Grant Lexington, the CEO of Lexington Industries, which owns this station. I work in our other offices across the street. Mr. Bickman is no longer with the company. Don't worry about your job, though. It's safe. Okay. Who covers for Bickman when he's on vacation? Well, Ireland used to. Great. Well, who is the most senior person besides Ireland?
I guess that would be Mike Charles.
And where does he sit? Carol pointed to an office. Thank you. I spoke with Mike Charles and put him in charge, and then I watched as security escorted a flustered Bickman out of the building. When I was done, I went back across the street. Millie stood as I entered and followed me into my office, reading me a list of calls I'd missed and some other shit that went in one ear and out the other. I took off my jacket and rolled up my shirt sleeves. Can you please send an email to my sister to let her know I fired Harold Bickman in broadcast media? Mike Charles is going to hold the reins while things get sorted out over there.
Sure. Though the last time you hired someone for Kate's division, she wasn't happy. She'll probably be in your office within 10 minutes once I call.
I sat down and blew out a deep breath. Good point. I'll tell her myself. Ask Kate if she can come across to my office to talk. Millie eyed me over her notepad.
She'd probably like it if you went to her for a change.
Millie was right. My sister definitely begrudged that she always had to come to me. Good point. Tell her I'll be coming over to talk to her in 10 minutes.
Is there anything else?
Can you also send a messenger with an apology letter to Ireland St. James? Tell her I've reviewed the circumstances surrounding her termination and to be back at work by Monday.
Millie scribbled in her notebook.
Okay, I'll get right on that. Thank you. As she got to the door, I thought of something else. Can you please add 12 roses to go with the letter to Ms. St. James?
Millie's brows drew together, but she rarely questioned my judgment, and she'd already commented on how my sister was going to react.
So she scribbled more in her notebook and simply said, "Will do."
The next afternoon, Millie walked into my office carrying a box of flowers. She looked nervous. My name was scribbled across the top of the box in red marker.
"These came for you via messenger just now."
I opened the long white box and unwrapped the tissue paper. Inside were 12 roses, but all the heads had been cut off the stems. A folded piece of stationery lay at the top. I picked it up and opened it.
"Keep the flowers. I'll need a fat raise if you want me back. Ireland."
I laughed out loud. Millie looked at me like I was nuts. "Can you please call Ms. St. James? Tell her I don't negotiate via messenger. Set up a lunch meeting for today at La Piazza at 1 o'clock. I looked at my watch. If it were anyone else, I'd have walked out the door by now. Yet 15 minutes after my scheduled lunch, I was still sitting at the table alone, drinking a glass of water, when Ireland St. James walked in. She looked around the restaurant, and the hostess pointed to where I was seated. As she made her way toward me, she smiled. It caught me off guard when my heart started to pump faster. Unlike yesterday and in the clips I'd watched, today her hair was pulled back into a slick ponytail. It showcased her high cheekbones and full lips, focusing attention on just her face. Some women needed window dressing in the form of hair and makeup, but Ireland was even more beautiful without that shit. She had on a royal blue silk shirt and a pair of black slacks. The outfit was pretty conservative, yet she still managed to snag the eye of every man and woman as she made her way through the dining room. I stood and tried not to let her see how much her appearance affected me.
"You're late."
"I'm sorry, I was early, but when I walked out to my car, my tire was flat. I had to grab an Uber."
I extended my hand. "Please sit."
Ireland took her seat and the waiter came right over.
"May I get you something to drink?"
I looked to Ireland. She smirked and unfolded her napkin.
"I don't usually drink during the day, but since I'm unemployed, not driving, and he's paying, I'll have a glass of Merlot, please."
I tried to contain my smile. "I'll just have a sparkling water." I glanced at Ireland.
"Since I am gainfully employed." The waiter disappeared, and Ireland folded her hands in front of her on the table. Ordinarily, people deferred to me to lead the conversation, but this woman wasn't ordinary.
"So," she said, "I spoke to my attorney, and he says I have a case against your company for harassment, breach of contract, and emotional distress."
I sat back into my chair.
"Your attorney? And who might that be?"
"His name is Scott Markham."
I knew the name from her background investigation a few years back. He'd been her boyfriend at the time.
I wondered if they were still together. I see. Well, I came to offer you your job back with an apology and perhaps a small raise. But if you'd rather go through our attorneys, that's fine too. I started to get up from my chair, calling her bluff. She fell for it. Actually, I'd rather not deal with attorneys. I was just letting you know what mine said. I folded my arms across my chest. Letting me know so you can use it as leverage against me? She folded her arms across her chest, mimicking my stance. Are you going to sit down so we can have a conversation or stomp out like a child? The woman had giant balls. I had to give her that. If she only knew how her attitude made me want to take a peek between her legs and check for some. We stared at each other for a full 60 seconds, and then I caved and sat down. All right, Ms. St. James, let's put our cards on the table. What is it that you want? I heard you fired Bickman, is it true? Yes. Why? Because I don't like the methods he used to monitor his employees. Good, me either. Plus, he's a dick. My lip twitched. Yes, there's that too. Did you follow me to the coffee shop? No, and for the record, I don't follow women or my employees around. I happened to walk in to grab a cup of coffee. My phone had rung in the car, and the connection was bad and dropped the call. I needed to compose a text to the caller so she wouldn't worry. Why didn't you tell me who you were when you realized who I was? I already answered that question for you the other day. It was a coincidence that I sat down at your table, and then when I realized, I was intrigued about what you might say. The waiter brought her wine and my water, and Ireland alternated between watching him and looking at me. We'll need a few minutes, I said. We haven't looked at the menus yet. Ireland's eyes were on me again when the waiter disappeared. She seemed to be mulling something over. Any other questions? She nodded. Who was on the phone? Pardon? You said you were on the phone while you were driving and the call got dropped and you didn't want the person to worry. I sipped my water. My grandmother. Not that it's any of your business. Are we done with the interrogation now? Because I was considering putting the drunken emails you sent me behind us. But if you'd like to rehash every last interaction we've had, we can discuss those too. She squinted at me and drank some of her wine. I want a 20% raise and consideration given to Madeline Newton for Bickman's position. Interesting. I scratched my chin. One thing at a time. I'll give you 10%. 15. 12.5. She smiled. 17. I chuckled. That's not the way this works. Once you go down in a negotiation, you don't get to go back up if you're not liking the way things are going. She frowned. Who said? I shook my head. I'll tell you what. I'll give you your 15, but for that, you'll also have to sign a release form giving up your right to any potential lawsuit for anything Bickman might have done during his tenure. She thought about it. Okay, that's fair. If I'm being honest, I wasn't going to sue you anyway. I think our society is litigious enough. Plus, I don't like dealing with lawyers. What about Scott Markham? Especially Scott Markham. Good to know. So we have a deal then? As long as you'll give consideration to Madeline Newton for Bickman's position. She's the best person for the job and has been passed over twice. If she applies, I'll make sure she's given due consideration. Thank you. She put out her hand. Then I guess we have a deal. I shouldn't have noticed how tiny and soft her hands were, how much her skin felt like silk, but I did. I cleared my throat after we shook. I'll let Mike Charles know you'll be taking the reins back immediately. I have to admit, I'm surprised you won't try for Bickman's position yourself. She shook her head. I'm not ready for it, but Madeline will do a great job. Unlike Bickman, she's smart and fair and people respect what she says. Well, actually, to be fair, Bickman was smart too, just not when it came to women. This woman just kept surprising me. You thought Bickman was smart? She nodded. He was. It was everything else that was horrible. How did you two manage to coexist for so long if he was that bad? He was rude and demeaning, and I got my joy from the little things I did that drove him nuts. I pretended it balanced things. My brows narrowed. What little things? She smirked. Well, he had certain pet peeves. For example, he couldn't stand when someone tapped their foot. It would make him turn the color of a tomato while he held in, exploding about it. Okay. So I would tap my foot and watch the vein in his neck pulse when he pissed me off. My brows rose. He also once mentioned that he hated when people wore too much perfume or cologne.